Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In our show, I'll be chatting with Dwayne Geddes from the Sam Sullivan Disability Foundation. So tell me a little bit about the Disability Foundation.
The Sam Sullivan Disability Foundation, as the name implies, the organization was founded by Sam Sullivan, who's a C4-5 quadriplegic from the age of 29 when he broke his neck in a skiing accident. He has gone on, after quite a period of recovery, to not only establish our organizations, group of organizations, a number of societies, but Sam is a former mayor of Vancouver. Many people might remember that he accepted the flag at the as the next host city representative when he received the flag at the Turin Olympics. I think that was seen by something like 2 billion people on television. He is also currently the member of our Legislative Assembly here in BC, the MLA for Vancouver Falls Creek. Sam founded a number of societies, a number of organizations that provide different opportunities for people with significant physical disabilities. Under the umbrella of the Disability Foundation, as we call it, are these groups, one of which is the Tetra Society of North America. It is an organization that stretches really from one coast to the other in Canada and a few spots in the United States. But we recruit volunteer engineers, technicians, designers, technologists to create one-off, usually low-tech, customized assistive devices for people with disabilities. We have another group called the Connectra Society, which is really Tetra, but in a social sense. And Connectra operates in the lower mainland of British Columbia, principally. And there we recruit volunteers who work one-on-one with people to create social opportunities, principally aimed at jobs and preparation for jobs and volunteering, but also social engagement, so that people are taking advantage of recreational opportunities or the arts, looking for ways to become more connected with the community, which we see as necessary steps for employment. So it's really pre-employment steps. We have four recreational-based groups, the largest of which is the Disabled Sailing Association of BC. Sam founded the Disabled Sailing Association here in Vancouver about 30 years ago. At Expo 86, which some of your listeners might recall was in Vancouver in 86, Margaret Thatcher was here on Great Britain Day, and she presented Rick Hansen's family with a sailboat It was a Sunway sailboat made in England. But when Rick, at that point, August of 86, was in Newfoundland, beginning his final leg across the country, when he got back, the boat sat unused. You know, Sam approached Rick and said, can we buy this boat from you? And Rick said, well, I can't sell it to you as a gift, but if you form an organization, I'll give it to you. Sam did, and that was 87, and by 92, disabled sailing had grown to the point where it was a demonstration sport at the Atlanta Olympics. I guess that was 96, not 92. And disabled sailing had spread across Canada and across North America. So it was quite a growth story, which in this continent started here in Vancouver, although the largest disabled sailing group now is in Queens Quay in Toronto. We have a group called the BC Mobility Opportunities Society, or BC MOS, as we call it. It's quite a mouthful, but essentially what it is, it's our hiking, gliding, flying, outdoor adventure organization. And this year, we're combining our existing kayaking program with a new paddleboarding program, which is really a fast-growing sport for people with disabilities. So we're quite excited with that. Our hiking is principally centered around a contraption we call the Trail Rider, which is a one-wheeled vehicle that is manned by Sherpas, as we call them, people who are physically fit. But the Trail Rider can take people with disabilities almost anywhere. We've been, for instance, to the top of Kilimanjaro several times and to the Everest Base Camp. But I guess more importantly, we do literally hundreds of hikes every year through local parks, and people will take them, make visits to the family cabin, lots of little adventures like that. Our other two organizations, we have the Vancouver Adapted Music Society. We have a fully equipped music studio, recording studio at one of our principal rehab centers, the G.F. Strong Rehab Center in downtown Vancouver. People, inpatients, outpatients, just people with disabilities, use the studio to learn music, introduce themselves to music, reacquaint themselves to music after an accident or contracting a condition. We have people learning how to create, how to play different instruments, create music electronically. We have people who are playing professionally, and we arrange gigs and shows and concerts in town and or really throughout British Columbia for people with disabilities or musicians with disabilities. And our smallest group is something called the Disabled Independent Gardeners Association. We're in Vancouver operating gardening programs for people with disabilities, principally accessible gardens, and we are doing that at five community gardens throughout the Lower Mainland. And we help people, we provide advice and equipment and whatnot for people who are wanting to garden at homes, whether it's on a large property or just on a balcony in an apartment. So those are the things we do. We support ourselves in a number of ways, trying to get away from government support as much as possible. And to that end, we're quite active in the social enterprise area, where we're running three little companies on as well. These companies, Martin 16 Sailing, for instance, builds and manufactures Martin 16 sailboats, which are specifically designed for disabled sailing programs. We have a company called Kawak Access Equipment, Inc. Kalak is a Chinook name, meaning motion, mobility, flying, and we manufacture and sell our trail riders around the world. And our newest little group is something called Tetra Gear, Inc., where we're taking certain devices, assistive devices that we've created or our volunteers have created, and we're trying to develop them into that we think have a larger applicability, trying to create some commercial opportunities there. So those are the things we do. The foundation itself is really a fundraising entity that develops funds to support all of the organizations. So that's the way we operate, and we really do that with a small number of full-time staff, but we depend on many, many contractors and numerous volunteers in all our groups. That's who we are.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd
sure.
be great. Just an incredible story. But Sam Sullivan gave so much to the disabled community, and now, in his name, the work is continuing. That's such an amazing thing. It really does speak to the potential of any of us to change the life of a person with a disability for the better. All it takes sometimes is someone asking the question, do you think you'd be able to help? And if you can, what do you think you could do? Once somebody asks that question, how can I help? It changes everything. They start seeing people just as potential, capable human beings. Once you stand beside someone with a disability, help them achieve their best. Changes not only them, changes you, your outlook. The world might start to seem a little less hopeless. We all hear the bad news about terrorism, the economy. But the fact is, the world is not all hopeless. There are stories every day of people out there making a difference in the lives of their fellow human beings, whether they have a disability or not. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Brain injury is the leading killer and disabler of people under the age of 44 and kills more people under the age of 20 than any other causes combined. Texting or talking on a cell phone while operating a motorized vehicle can lead to serious car crashes, brain injuries, or death. Take the pledge and help put a stop to distracted driving. Go to idontpledge.com to make a pledge to drive only. Never text. Everyone deserves to travel on our roads and communities without the fear of a distracted driver.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Dwayne Geddes from the Sam Sullivan Disability Foundation. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Thomas Polson from the Momo Dance Theater. So tell me a little bit about the Momo Dance Theater.
Well, Momo is Calgary's only fully integrated dance theater company. And as a matter of fact, it was Western Canada's first integrated dance theater company. And it started in 2003, and it offers opportunities for people to learn about various aspects of dance and theater, and also to become performers, to have opportunities to perform in shows for Momo, and also shows put on by other groups.
So, when you say it's fully integrated, this includes people with various types of disabilities.
That's correct.
So, what types of conditions do you typically see in your performers?
Well, currently we have Currently, we have performers who have different kinds of conditions. We have folks with different kinds of developmental disabilities. We have Down syndrome. We have people who are on the autism spectrum. We have people such as myself who have cerebral palsy. We have people who use wheelchairs for one reason or another. And we also have a dancer in our ensemble who is visually impaired.
So, in terms of the training for these performers, are there any modified techniques that are used?
My understanding is that a lot of the same techniques and practices go into teaching disabled dancers as would go into the instruction of non-disabled.
So, in your time with the dance company, has there been any success moment that stood out for you?
Oh, gosh, I think there have been several. I think just early on, the very first show that we did, the very first show that I did, with the company, I made the decision consciously to only do one piece, one bit of the show, out of, I suppose, a bit of caution that I didn't really maybe fully know what I was getting myself into at the time, and I wanted to kind of ease myself into it. So that first piece that I worked on was a trio piece, and it was publicly performed in downtown Calgary in 2004. And I think that was an eye-opening moment for me. That was a bit of a revelation. Yes, I can do this, it won't be exhausting. It won't take too much out of me, and I can actually do this in a successful way. And through the years, there have been particular things that I've taken a lot of pleasure and satisfaction from. We've performed in various arts festivals in and around Calgary. For example, we've done the well-known high-performance rodeo put on by Calgary's One Yellow Rabbit Theater. We performed there a couple of times. So I think when you get into working festivals and events that are well-established in the community, and indeed events that are known well outside of Calgary, there's a particular satisfaction and a particular sense that we're being recognized. We're making waves. We're a success.
So, if you could send any one message to the community about the need to integrate people with disabilities into performance arts, what would it be?
It would be to follow your heart. It would be to not to try to overthink these things. It would be to recognize what gives you the most satisfaction and the most pleasure, and to pursue it, and to be able to be able to know when you need someone's support. MoMo's a very supportive organization. It's something that people can call on when they need it. So not only know when you need it, but don't be afraid of asking for the support that you need along your journey, your artistic journey.
So, are there any projects on the horizon for MoMo?
This year, we are in a period of transition, so we're looking for a new artistic director right now. So what we're focusing on is solidifying works that we've already begun. And we've made the conscious choice and the conscious decision not to have our own show this year, not to have a full-length show, but to put on a pair of performance labs, so public showings of our work in progress, not completed work, but works in progress. We've also this year been able to put on workshops to train teachers. So one of the things we've identified is we have a real pressing need for more teachers. As we've expanded, as the demand has grown for the training opportunities that we offer, we've come to the conclusion that we need more teachers. So this year, just a couple of weeks ago, as a matter of fact, we put on a series of very highly successful Train the Trainer workshops here in Calgary, where we had a number of people not only from here attending, but also from other centers in Canada, such as Vancouver, Edmonton, Ottawa, and Montreal.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure thing.
Integration, a fine concept. Having people with disabilities alongside their able-bodied counterparts. But I dream of a day when the two aren't seen as disparate groups. Fact of the matter is, inclusion should never be an afterthought. It should simply happen because it happens, because these are people that you want to work and learn and share some time with. You want to be alongside people with disabilities simply because they're people. And it is a very progressive concept when you look at things like integrated parks, and in this case, integrated theater. Truth is, it's breaking down the preconceived notions. People with disabilities need all sorts of accommodations that are going to just change the nature of what's going on. Doesn't have to be that way. Having people with disabilities alongside the able-bodied is the best way of breaking down these myths. Truth is, a lot of this is simply coming straight out of the air, because if you spend time with someone with any given disability, the odds are they'll surprise you. And things such as the dance company here, They're really making great effort just for equal inclusion. They're not saying the able-bodied are unwelcome or the disabled are unwelcome. No. They're saying open to all. And that is a principle that matters, because it says we really do embrace the idea of equality. We really do believe there is potential in these people. The fact is, to any given audience coming in, seeing one of their shows, it is probably best that they see the able-bodied and people with disabilities performing together. It's the only way to get a balanced perception of what the show's really like, in my opinion. Seeing these performers just as performers, not saying, oh, there's a disability show and we feel obligated to go and see it. No. The fact is, you should do it because these are great artists, great performers, with something to give the community. And whether they have a disability or not, they deserve the respect, the consideration, and yes, I dare say, the appreciation of an audience. You go see a show such as this because you're an art lover, because it's something you want to see. Seeing the skill and the technique of these performers. Not making a special charity case out of it, no. These performers with disabilities are people of strength and intelligence and character. And that is the reason you should see their performances. Not because the world says there's more pressure to be inclusive, to be integrated. No. Because it's human equality. Disability rights are human rights. Disability needs are human needs. Fact is, any artist wants to be appreciated for the work they do. They want someone to be there to say, you did great, not because you're overcoming some perceived barrier, which may or may not actually be there, but because you're an artist who excels in their craft, who brings something enriching to the community. And that's why I love hearing about disability performance art. Fact is, MoMo is bringing together people of many different ability types. And that's how it has to be. Not tokenism. Not one representative in a wheelchair and saying, there, we embrace diversity. No. They're bringing together all types of disabilities. And they're working together toward a single goal. The enjoyment of the audience. They're creating something together. And that, for the able-bodied performers, is more of an education than they could get anywhere else. Because they are learning what a human being is really capable of. They are learning that people will achieve if it's what they set their minds to. And the biggest disability, my friends, is simply being human. But I'd say the second biggest would be buying into the myths, saying to ourselves, oh, they could never do this, and leaving the answer at that, instead of taking the time to see that people can and will create. That people with disabilities and the able-bodied simply want to live in a way that's meaningful to them. Whether it be athletics, to educate, to perform, what have you. All facets of life should be open to people with disabilities, but never to the point of exclusion for the able-bodied. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you, we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.